Ed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools.
For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown.
Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools.
This is John White.
And this is Craig Gears.
And this is Fed Talks with John and Craig.
Welcome back to Fed Talks. This is Craig Gears, and I'm joined today with some colleagues at the Georgia Department of Education, and we're going to talk about Georgia's systems of continuous improvement. So we have quite a few folks with us today.
Hi, everybody. John White here, Director of Federal Programs.
And joining John, who will also be helping us ask some questions today, is Zelphine Smith-Dixon,
State Director for Special Education.
Very good. And our guests today come from the Office of School Improvement, and I'll have them introduce themselves. Patty, you want to start?
I'm Dr. Patty Rooks, and I'm Area Program Manager for the South area of the state.
Sam Taylor, I am the Program Manager for the Metro area of the state.
And Faya Paul, the Director of School and District Effectiveness.
Very good. Well, welcome, everybody, and we're looking forward to this conversation. This will be a series of four podcasts about Georgia's systems of continuous improvement. So without further ado, let's get underway and get started. John, Zell, you want to fire off with the first question?
Zell, I'll take the first one. So good morning, everybody. So just wanted to ask you real quick, tell us a little bit about school improvement and where the federal funding kicks in, because you know our Fed Talk series is really about the federal program. So can you help make the connection between school improvement and how federal funds are used? And anybody can jump in and take that one.
I'll start. So the federal funds really do support the work of school improvement at the school level in so many ways. It provides funding for initiatives that have been identified to meet the needs of the individual school or the district. So it's very valuable. Now with school and district effectiveness, our identified schools, and this year those were our priority, our focus schools, they received 1003 funding. This is school improvement funding. Again, to support the school improvement initiatives as identified or defined within their school improvement plan. Specifically, the requirement is that all of the purchases funded by 1003 funds are directly related to instruction that's supplemental to regular classroom instruction, as well as supporting professional learning opportunities for teachers and school leaders that also support quality instruction.
Yeah, that brings up a question. You're talking about 1003 funds, which is one of the federal grants, Craig, that schools get. Right. And you talked about how that was supplemental. That applies to all the other programs. All the other federal programs, they're all supplemental, meaning that they're a little bit more of what they can do for kids, right?
So to put it in context for everybody, John, if our listeners have paid attention in our last series, we had Title IV, which was
exactly
supplemental money that went out to support schools, the family engagement money. So this 1003 money is somewhat in the same context. In other words, it's additional funds given to districts to help schools improve.
Exactly. With first and foremost, that primary focus on instruction, improving instruction for the students, meeting identified needs at the school level.
So just to clarify for the audience, when you talk about priority and focus, can one of you guys here do a quick overview to try to not go into a lot of detail about what that's all about, but just to help our listeners understand what it means to be identified?
So the priority schools are the lowest 5% of Title I schools identified in the state of Georgia. And our focus schools really have to deal with the subgroups. There is a big gap between different subgroups in the school, and they look at there's some type of measurement that they look at the biggest gap from the lowest gap, and they identify those as focus schools.
And that's good to know, because we'll probably be referring to that throughout this series, I would think. And I see a lot of shaking heads here for our listeners' benefit.
And just to add to what Dr. Rook said, that 1003A is primarily targeted for not only professional learning, but is really looking at math and ELA, English and Language. That's what it's really, those are the two primary subject matters.
So the two of you have done a great job in kind of laying out the lay of the land of where we are, but a question that people may have is how have the federal funds been used to support school improvement efforts in the recent past? And I noticed some of your answers have already addressed that, mm-hmm. but if there's anything extra you would like to share.
I will chime in and give some specific examples. I think you heard earlier an emphasis around instructional supports, and we talked about additional funding, meaning we're giving more. So what in addition to what you already have, can you give this particular school or district to have a lift? And so that could be anything from supporting buses for after-school tutorials, having funding for salaries and benefits for instructional coaches. It may be funding around conferences so that training and professional learning opportunities are afforded. And so even though your district may provide that, and there may be other opportunities to have some of that same type of professional development, but maybe there's something really specific and strategic around math and ELA that you need to help enhance and improve so that you're able to work to close that gap for the students at that school or district.
So, Fire, I think with consideration for what you just said, some of the listeners might wonder, how will local schools identify the kids who will get that extra help for math, that extra help for ELA?
And so I think that as we continue to work on our continuous improvement system and structure, we go back to identifying what those needs are. So you're looking at your data and you're going to look at who are the children that are not making the target? Who are the students that are still showing gaps and deficiencies in particular standards and areas? And so once you look at that data and you begin to identify your need, you're going to work to write your plan of intervention using that continuous system to determine who needs it, what do they need, so that you're very strategic about your approach in problem solving for your school or district.
Good, and you brought up the systems of continuous improvement. I don't know if you know you said that, but you did. And that's a real important aspect because in our Fed Talk series, that's come up almost every single time we've talked. And we've oftentimes said, you know, that we've got some experts in the field and at the department who can come out and talk about this. So we'd actually like to ask you that question now. Can you guys share with us a little bit about how the systems of continuous improvement came about, what that means, and how schools are making sense of that?
So I think that when we look at what Every Student Succeeds Act has asked of us as a state, and we look at our practices as an agency and how we support schools and districts, we needed to find a marriage that was evidence-based that allowed us to have a systemic approach to how we identify our needs and work to write plans for implementation, to examine those plans for a cyclic process that allows us to move the needle with schools and districts.
That's a good foundation for understanding how that comes about. Are there any details? Maybe you guys want to tell us a little bit about the systems, perhaps just kind of identify those for us.
Well, there are five systems, and the systems really provide for us a common framework, common language, not only here at the Department of Education, but in working with districts and working with schools. So it really gives us a common lens. So when we look at the five systems, and the five systems aren't anything new, because before that you had the seven correlates of effective schools, so it's really not new, but it helps schools to look at a system. And sometimes schools and districts have problems looking at systems and processes. So we have really five systems. We have coherent instruction, we have professional learning, capacity, we have supportive learning environment, we have effective leadership, we have family and community engagement. And so that creates the approach, and that helps schools to begin to assess. And we didn't get into the comprehensive needs assessment, but that helps us to begin to identify those systems that they're doing very well on, and maybe those systems that they need a little bit of work on.
So any other thoughts on the systems framework? Because just to give you a little heads up, in the other Fed Talks episodes, we talked about the problem-solving cycle as well. So can somebody kind of lay that framework for us here?
So the problem-solving cycle is also really not new work. I know in business, we often hear see, plan, do, check. It's the whole idea of identifying needs, of selecting interventions, of developing a plan, then implementing a plan, and then an ongoing measuring of the progress in terms of the implementation of that plan. And by the way, when we think about Georgia's systems of continuous improvement, and what Dr. Taylor told us in terms of those five systems, we can use this cycle of improvement in our work within each of the systems, and we even have structures within the systems. Mm-hmm. That's the work that we're doing within those systems, and that cycle of continuous improvement is the work we should always be about when we're working at the district level, at the school level, at the classroom level, and students can do this as well. Project-based learning. Mm-hmm. You can use that system of continuous improvement.
So school improvement is about everybody in the school. It's not just about the principal, is that right?
Absolutely.
So teachers need to be able to, teachers talk about school improvement, is that right?
Exactly, and not only that, school improvement is for every school. No matter where we're functioning, we're always looking to get better, to meet our needs that are continually changing. So Georgia's systems of continuous improvement are for all of our schools, all of our districts, all of our classrooms, the work we do.
So Dr. Rooks, putting on a parent hat, is there a role or a place in Georgia's systems of continuous improvement for a parent?
Absolutely. Well, actually, one of the systems speaks directly to it in terms of family and community engagement. But likewise, just as Dr. Taylor alluded, we have that process of identifying needs at the district and at the school level in a formal fashion. A comprehensive needs assessment is conducted, and we have stakeholders involved, which include family and community, to help to identify those needs and then to look at how we can best meet those needs.
So I may add, and Dr. Rook's response, so when you work through the comprehensive needs assessment, you identify an area, and say you identify coherent instruction. So you take that coherent instruction, it could be something regarding mathematics, I'll just make that up, and you take that through each system. And so when you take it through each system, there's that family piece of it. What is the family's role in helping the school to achieve that goal? And so that's the beauty of it. It gives the school a holistic way of looking at a problem and not looking at a problem in a very discrete way, but in a systematic way.
Well, if there's no other questions right here, I think this is a perfect stopping point. Because you've done a great job of outlining what the systems framework is all about. And in our next podcast series, the next episode, we're going to go deeper into some of the elements that your our listeners might see in the schools or some of the different elements that you're working through. Dr. Smith-Dixon, do you have any questions or any comments you want to add as we close out?
No, I thought it was a great session and look forward to the next podcast.
Excellent. Thank you for being with us, you guys, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.